hey, it's time again. It's that day. It's that night. It's Bob Saget's here for you. Right. So that's me, because I'm here for you, and I'm apparently Bob Saget. I hope you're doing good. It's been quite a week. I'm really happy to be having this guest I have on today. It's Randy Rainbow. Now, if you don't know Randy Rainbow, stop this podcast right now and watch some of his videos on his YouTube page, or you can see them at randyrainbow.com. He's been nominated for 2 Emmy Awards for his videos. He's got one on there with Patti LuPone. He's done a lot of political satire stuff, musical theater parodies, but it's special because he does it with love and with so much positive energy that it just makes me feel better. It has helped me. Our late night hosts have helped us through. If you are more conservative and more on the right side of things, it's probably frustrating because you haven't had a comedian that relieves the pressure in your cooker. I don't know. For me, there's so much love in what he does that I don't know how painful it would be for people that were fans of the president from the past 4 years. But it's a wonderful thing to look at his stuff. And you know what to do with this podcast, if I haven't turned you off already. You know what to do with this podcast. Shove it up your ass, Bob. You can rate, review, subscribe. And there's a number up there. I'll call you guys once in a while and see how you're doing. It's a new year, and I'm into it. We'll get vaccinated, and I'll be out in the fall on tour, and I got a couple projects I'll be telling you about as we get through life. And I'm just sending you my best, guys. So here it comes. I'm admitting him now. Randy Rainbow, the Randy Rainbow. If you're a fan, you're going to love this. So here we go. Randy Rainbow. Hey.
Hi.
There's the hero of the world.
Get out.
I can't. I have to do this.
I can't believe it's really you on my screen where you've always been.
Well, it's mutual. This is amazing to me. This is so funny.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob. I just love you.
Randy, it is mutual. You brought me so much joy. And you're the first person I've ever had on the... I've been doing this since like April. But I haven't like... fallen in love with any YouTube YouTube star is what you are, I guess, is what you would call it, right? You're an entertainer. You're a comedian, you're a singer.
I try to avoid the internet thing. I think that, but I don't know, because you want to know why? Not it's not an ego thing. It's just, I don't play the YouTube game. Like, I don't think of myself as that in that game. You know,
I didn't mean to do that to you.
I'm not
sitcom dad turned filthy. You know, that's how they peg me. I'm right. Branded, and I've been canceled more times than I can cancel myself. Cause I'm the first to want to cancel.
Let's talk about everything.
Right. So that's how I got to know you, through the videos, through Twitter, Instagram, but mainly, and then I was up a long time last night because I was it was an interesting day yesterday, and there's something about you. I'll let you praise me, but
no, I was done actually. That was it.
Okay.
I just wrote a small paragraph.
Bob, I grew up watching you. Thanks.
Isn't that the thing you say?
Yeah.
No, but it's very sincere when I say it to you. I really do mean it.
Thank you.
And I do want to just give you a disclaimer talking about Up All Night, because I have like an agita about this, not because I'm scared of you, but because I have been up for 3 days. And when the last video I made, which was on Monday, I pulled an all-nighter as I often do, and I did not sleep. And the next morning brought my kitten to be spayed, not knowing that I would then be up every single night with the shitting and the puking and whatever else.
And what about the cat?
She's fine, but I have been shitting all over the living room.
Nothing wrong with that. It's like Spinner. So
I'm a mess right now. I'm drinking a giant cup of coffee, but if I say something, if I speak in tongues, forgive me. I don't know what the hell.
I didn't sleep last night. I fell on my toe is, I think, broken. So here's an ice pack I'm going to put on my toe. So we have similar stress from the world. The world is a stressor. And then your cat, you know, somebody you love.
Yeah. It's not the stress. She's fine. It's just she's shitting all over me. And right.
There's so many jokes that I could do that would be, you know, canceled. I'd be canceled, you know, because cats are like, grab her by the, you know, and then yeah, she shits.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, feel free to do them. I feel like we've exhausted. Can we say pussy on this podcast? Because that's
we can say anything. What's weird is people say that I'm dirty, but I don't actually talk about the act of sex. I usually use... I mean, I fuck is a nice word. They asked me to do that Netflix thing where you curse words, and I just like, right. And I was like, I'll let my friends do it, but I'm not a guy that thinks of myself as that. But I also don't believe in censorship, which brings up a whole lot of stuff for a lot of people, everybody.
Sure.
And it's funny, the most conservative people that I perform for until this year, want filth. It's like interesting, you know.
They
want dirty talk.
They want filth.
They enjoy it. And do you find with first thing? I'm just you're so talented, and I watched the evolution of you. So I did a whole thing.
How long have you known about me? Let's talk about me.
A couple years. Yeah.
But you only reached out now, Bob.
I've got so many people on, you know, it's funny. I just had Dave Coulier on. He's like, you have Stamos on first and then you wait like 70 episodes to have me. I go, Dave, you're just not as popular. No, I didn't say that. No, because you want to make everything great continually when you do something like this. Because I do this. I was doing this before quarantine. I started this last year, not last year, 2019, to do a podcast because I wanted to do it because it was a way of connecting and being real, which is something I felt. And I was doing it in my stand-up. My stand-up was changing. I had a new hour, which is, I don't know what it's going to be when I get to go back. But I do know that it's a work. I'm a work in progress, like you are. I mean, you know, and everybody always goes, oh, you showbiz people and all this crap. But you're a person from Huntington, New York. I'm Larry King now. This is not in my genes. No, I just read all about you because you always watch all these award shows when you're 9 years old. And everybody always says, there's a little girl or a little boy out there and they want to do this one day and you can do it. You can do it. And a lot of show business doesn't want you to do it. You know, a lot of people go, there's enough people in showbiz, you know. But when someone's so talented, it's like, oh, please, become our popular friend. It's like high school, you know, and that's what happened with me. And I'm sure you have the same syndrome. It's like all of a sudden, you know, Ben Stiller's going, this just made my life.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I mean, it's funny to tell you about it because I've been, you know, I hate to make you feel old, but I'm sure that happens to you.
I can't believe you started. I'm 64, and I started doing stand-up when I was 16, 17. And I did music parodies. That's all I did. I was the first one to sing Elton John, Don't Let Your Son Go Down on Me.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
The music parodies, though, you get bashed. It's like being a prop act, and then not if it's done right. And
well, you want to know what? Thank you for saying that. I never was a fan of parody as an art form. I always thought and still do. I there's always a little bit of shame that comes with every video I put out because I feel a little bit hacky, you know, because it's such a gimmick. And you know, I love Al Yankovic. He's terrific, but he does his thing in his way. But I'm not, you know, some people think I'm standing here on the shoulders of Al Yankovic, and I didn't grow up. And you know, even like Tom Lehrer, who didn't do parodies.
I loved Tom Lehrer.
Yeah.
And every stand-up special I've ever done, there's three, four songs in it that are original.
That's
except
great.
For one was a parody. I did the Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way as a parody on HBO about Full House. But it was called Danny Tanner Was Not Gay. And then as the song continues, you find out, of course, he was. But
I knew that.
But and I embrace that. But
that's fine. That's just you don't make me gay as I am today. I credit you all.
Now, how has quarantine been for you? Because you've been doing this in your apartment since 2011. Is that when you started doing these things?
2010 was my first video, which was called Randy Rainbow is Dating Mel Gibson.
It's hilarious.
Thank you. We've broken up since, so I'd rather not discuss it. But that was when those tapes came out and this gimmick started. So,
right.
You know, it's funny to think. When quarantine happened, I mean, socially speaking, I'm a wreck. I would like to go, and I just moved into Manhattan, like.
Into a two-bedroom. I read everything.
That you even know my whole layout of my apartment, my whole blueprint.
I don't know that, but I'm going to go on Zillow.
Okay, calm down. I was living in Astoria, Queens for 17 years, and I finally made it to Manhattan, and then Manhattan left me. So it's maddening. But professionally, it's been, you know, I kind of feel like I had a leg up. Is that the expression?
It is.
A lot of people, because I, you know, a lot of people started having to figure out how to do what I'd been doing for a decade or more. So, I used to do it in just a little tiny studio apartment. So my whole little like closet sized apartment was just a green screen. And I would like, you know, get like backaches trying to like walk around lights and things. Now I can spread out a little bit more. It's still just a little room that I do everything in, but it's a little bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so wild. Are there certain programs that you use, but you don't have to say what they are. Are there certain apps that you edit on a computer, I'm sure.
Yeah. I taught myself Final Cut Pro and Adobe After Effects, which was just really, I have no innate interest in editing, and I never studied it or went to school for it. I kind of just picked it up. This whole thing started because I wanted to just put myself on the internet, have this be a showcase, and have Bob Saget reach out and ask me to do his podcast.
So I was your goal from the beginning.
That was it. But have people call me and cast me in things. And this was just sort of an audition. And I started in 2010. That was sort of when YouTube people started putting themselves out there in that way. And I just, as a means to an end, I just figured, well, I have to write something for me to perform. And I kind of started getting a little, you know, cuter with the editing as years went by, and I just figured it out. But I still haven't really even scratched the surface of those programs.
Well, what's interesting is what happens with all of us is you do it for something for 10 years, 15 years, 17 years, whatever. You get chops. You just get, you are so great at it that, and you're doing what some people might be in the, it's hard to get offended even though you're doing political satire. And it's been about you really clicked in 2016.
Sure.
Ironically. It's an odd coincidence.
I know. How do you like that? But and that really sort of, I think my secret to that, I don't know if this is what comes across, but my goal was to sort of create this persona. The sort of character version of me in the videos is a slightly heightened reality, or it's kind of me like on three martinis or something like that.
Right.
So I figured if I make myself this character, I can then sort of plug myself in and almost make myself at least as much the butt of the joke as the subject. And then people kind of let you off the hook, you know, if I'm just sort of this lovable ignoramus kind of thing. That's what I am.
But what I love about you is you're self-aware. So there's a third level of it. It's not just a two-dimensional thing. And I think that's why so many people that you respect, that you go, wow, I can't believe that person likes me. But you started, the way you started was the way I started. I mean, I was shooting videos of myself, but I would edit them on 3/4 inch or beta because you were an enzyme when I did this at Temple University in Philadelphia, went to film school. And I knew how to do stuff. I did green screen. I was on CBS and I interviewed myself with chroma key, you know, green screen. Yeah, old school stuff.
How did we do it back then? My God.
You would see yourself glitching like you do in a Zoom when you put a background up. That was the professional look.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't always be cut in. I remember right. Cher did a show on CBS and I was a teenager and she would be like 15 characters and she would come in dressed as Cleopatra and somebody else and it was on CBS. And I was like, wow, that's... And she was singing and doing famous songs and a couple of her songs. And I was like, wow, she's playing every character. That is damn impressive. And yours happened organically. I mean, I could tell by watching all of the different videos. And you wanted to it looks to me like you should be starring in a one-man show on Broadway. I mean, that's what it feels like.
You know, I never even had that much courage or I really grew into myself over the last 5 years, I would say,
mm-hmm.
because I really just wanted people to recognize that I had some ability and maybe cast me in bit parts or get work or something. But the response that I got was so strong for a number of reasons, you know, the subject matter and all of that I'm doing things that like have like standing on stage in front of like 4,000 or 5,000 people and doing an entire concert with a band. That's a literal nightmare that I had, like a recurring nightmare.
Just we all have it.
Yeah.
And we're often naked. I'd tell you that we all are.
I was never naked. I am
You've never gone out on stage in a dream and you're naked?
No, just in my actual show, but not in the dream. but
I have a Dirk Diggler codpiece that I wear.
Well,
that's from Boogie Nights. You saw Boogie Nights, right?
Yes, the prosthetic, you mean.
Yeah, it's very uplifting.
So when it happened, when it clicked that I like got the chutzpah to like, you know, pull this shit together and like do it. But I'm so grateful for it. Trump, you know, as horrible as he was for the country, he was great for my career and self-image. And isn't that what's really important? Sorry, America.
Well, you've trashed Biden, you've trashed Hillary, you trashed, you know, you don't give anybody a free ride, but when someone comes at anyone aggressively and they have a comedic bent, they're going to do a number on them. And no matter what their politics, it's impossible not to roast him continuously, especially if it hurts when it hurts people or you feel like it's hurting you or it's, and all the late night shows, all my friends that host those shows, they all have done what they've done, but yours is like the resin of satire and you do it positively. There's so much love in what you do because you love performing and you're conceptually can you take me through the process of it? Because it is it's an art form. It's literally an art form. How long does it take? Sometimes you'll have a 2-minute lead and then you'll start the song.
Well, I just want to first say that you hit the nail on the head with that. I love what I do and that's what people are responding to.
Yeah.
And that's why this has worked. You know, people who, you know, maybe are not the biggest fans who just sort of have a superficial kind of passing idea of me, kind of, which is fine, brush me off as just sort of like a, you know, a one-trick pony, like that's the Trump guy who does Trump videos or things like that. But I argue that this gimmick of doing parodies about one man for 4 years would not have lasted if there was not something more behind it. And the thing that's behind it and the thing that people are really responding to is they're seeing just some guy having a ball and doing the things that he loves and singing the show tunes that I would never, you know, necessarily get cast to sing. That's what drives me. It's not political. I'm not here to make a political statement. I'm just certain times, at times I am, and at times I'm more opinionated than others, but I'm just trying to have a little fun. And I think that, as you know, it resonates with people and it reaches them. But as far as my process, I'm so bad at answering this question because to me it's like so boring and so mundane that I never know where to start. So ask me something specific that you want to know about how.
Okay. Well, the one that recently came out is the song from Rent, but I don't know the amount of days. 2 million.
Oh,
how many minutes?
2,102,400 minutes.
Right. And it's, you know, would you say that's your most epic one that you've made? Or there's a lot of them. I mean, there's probably
some people said that. I didn't say it, but I'll take it.
But what do you think? Did it take longer to make that one?
No, in fact, that one I made in one day. And that's why I'm a puddle on the floor basically today. I wasn't going to do it. I had the idea floating around. I have a running list of songs that I refer to,
right.
You know, and if something doesn't just strike me that week, I'll go to the list and see what I can make work. Just songs from shows that I love and want to do. And Seasons of Trump has always been on there. And I started recording it on, I released it on Tuesday. So I started recording it on Sunday. And then I was like, as I always do, and you'll relate to this too, I release any video or even get started editing it, I go through, oh, this is stupid. No one's going to fucking like this. And this is the one that everyone's going to say, oh no, we don't want that one. So I always have this dialogue, you know, this monologue in my mind that you can do it, edit it, but you're not going to release this one. You'll show it to your mom. She'll laugh.
Have you done that? Do you have some on the floor?
I've learned to not listen to myself.
Right, because you're also working that hard. If you're going to start doing layers and layers and reshooting yourself, singing with yourself, it's like you gotta buy the premise, buy the bit. You have to do it.
Exactly. I try to rely on just the germ of the idea that I had, that this first spark that sort of made me go, oh, that's cute or that's funny. And I try to just remember that because, it's very unnatural to edit yourself, let alone like 15 of yourself, like how I layer myself, it's horrible. And like by 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm up looking at myself, it's like, who is this person? It's just like shapes and sounds. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Is this funny? What's going on? So I've just learned to just silence that in myself. But I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, you haven't slept, your cat has diarrhea, and think I broke my toe. But I am recording, which is good.
Two alpacas with their cat and their toe.
You're not an alpaca. You're 39. You're a child. I'm friends with a couple older people. Like Bob Newhart was calling me, and he tells me I'm a baby, and I'm Norman Lear is 98. Tells me I'm a baby. I'm 64. You know, 15-year-olds are telling me I'm dying. You know. But there's so much. I was turning into Merv Griffin. I don't know if you know who that is, but he was a talk show host, and I was on his show a lot. And I was going to say, "You're wonderful." That's what I was going to say. I was going to compliment you. He used to you, "Wonderful." He's a very talented young man. That's what I was going to give you that intro.
I was born too soon and started too late, as they say in Gypsy. I wish I were like coming up when you did in those days. I miss those days so much.
Wait, but that's what you're here for. But that's what you're here for. That's what you're here for, because these videos are catching on. And what's your demo? Younger people and established older people that recognize musical theater.
Yeah, it's very varied. I mean, very diverse. And when I do my live shows, when I tour, I'm so surprised. Yeah,
tell me about that. Tell me about what's your live show like.
It's basically just, it's like a concert version of the videos. So there's a little stand-up woven in, and then I have a 4 or 5-piece band with me, a giant screen behind them, which is sort of displays like the backgrounds that you would see in the videos of flashing imagery. And the band plays to a click track, so they play along with the video, and I sing live. and you know, just change hats a bunch of times. It's very cheap, but it's a lot of fun. And I do a Q&A, and I'm so surprised that the demographic has been like, you know, 8 and 9 year olds are big with me. They love me.
And what about the cursing? Do you do the cursing?
I curse.
For 8 and 9 year olds, because that's
for 8 and 9 year olds. I know it happens, but the parents usually, they're like cool moms who acknowledge that. I even hear from teachers sometimes who say that they, not the cursing ones, but a lot of teachers have shown my videos in classes. I guess there's sort of an element of like a Schoolhouse Rocks kind of like civics lesson that goes along with some of them.
Well, it's also when someone says, nobody will hire me, nobody, it's just bullshit, because you're self-propelled, you're self-made, you do all of it. So, and I hate saying this because it's the most frustrating thing people say to everybody, but Netflix, could you do it? Could you do your show there so the world could see it?
I would love to. You know, the invitation stands.
But there's music clearance issues, right?
There's a lot with the way I'm doing it now. It would be difficult. There's clearances. You know, when I've spoken to them, they didn't really like. I mean, they've since done some specials that have sort of strayed from this, but they didn't like the idea of Trump bashing, which I guess, you know, you can consider what I do, although I think it's a little more elevated than that. But, you know, they wanted to be a little more nonpartisan, I guess. So I don't know. I got some ideas cooking around that I think would be more suitable. So,
well, this is a springboard for your career. I mean, this is, you know, Rodney Dangerfield was a friend. He's over my shoulder. There's a picture of him with a red fox right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a statue of him from the, I can't point. That's a statue of him from, I don't know. My arm doesn't work. That's a statue from the UCLA Brain Center, whatever that is there, that statue there.
And that's horrifying, that statue.
It's horrifying. It is strange, but it is him. And you should see him in person. I mean, but he was 58 when he did Caddyshack. So he had been a stand-up forever. But there's no timeline on when someone's career, everybody always goes, oh, I'm too old. Really? Well, how old's the president now, you know? And people are concerned about it, but I'm not concerned. I mean, he's kicking ass as far as physically moving around and stuff.
Comedians, don't you find that like that happens often when they comedians, there's something about comedy that you need that time to sort of age like wine, and a lot of comedians do start later, you know,
and some start really young. You know, you look like a Pete Davidson. I mean, he is
true.
He's special, and he's very, what he is he's honest about his issues. He talks about mental health on SNL, you know, and I love the guy. But I want to tell you, but I have so much to talk to you about, and I've talked too much. So we'll take a quick break. It's probably about some product that shaves your pubes or helps you sleep, which helps me sleep when I do that.
I need both of those.
I actually I threw out all my pillows, the My Pillows, because, you know, they're made by, you know, Satan, but I have new pillows that I made of my pube hair, and it's it's called,
I would be interested in, what's
it's
called?
My Beaver. we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. That's how you take a commercial.
Oh my God. Show business is crazy.
It's just great. Podcasting has a whole new life.
Love it.
Okay. How do conservative people come at you? Do you get flack? Do you block people? Have you had any issues, or do they get the joke too?
I went for like 3.5 years very naive to the fact that, you know, I guess I thought I could just sail through doing kind of, you know, making fun of Trump and singing show tunes and everyone just somehow only seeing the positive stuff and not, whenever anyone would ask me that question, oh, you must get a lot of hatred, I would, the answer was, you'd be surprised how much hate I don't get. It's funny though, like in quarantine, I think a lot of people have a lot more time to hate me. So I'm hearing from a lot more of those people now. And it's kind of, you know, at least, you know, it's new to me, or at least I'm now more cognizant of it. I don't know who these people are exactly. I don't know what some of them are, you know, claim to be on my side of things. I don't know.
Not coming at it. You're parodying someone. Look at all the shows that are on TV. You know, Showtime has a show. Everybody has been, I mean, South Park has been doing this since they started, and they've been on since it feels like the beginning of time.
Right.
And when I watch your videos, I think of, you know, Book of Mormon, and I think of the South Park movie and the show, and how there, I'm sure you're a fan of, and Family Guy as well. I mean, and the art of singing. I mean, Seth MacFarlane is crazy talented, and Matt and Trey are geniuses, and there's a lot of IQ between those gentlemen, and that would be. But yours has this original Broadway thing to it. I just want to see you on Broadway. It would make me so fucking happy.
Well, you know what? Thank you for saying that. You will. You will be in the front row, and
I won't. I'll be a house seats. I'll be 10 rows back, and I'll be on the aisle.
Well, I was trying to be more romantic than that, but you said.
I know. But if I'm looking up your nose, then I don't feel like I'm getting the whole. I don't want you to have to say to me, Bob, my eyes are up here.
That's true. And you do have a habit of looking.
I can't help it. I'm crotch level when I'm seating. Seated.
But we were going.
Sitting.
Sorry.
I haven't had time for my shrink.
Can we take a nap for the second half of this?
Yeah, I am exhausted.
But. We were about to start working on a one-man on a Broadway run of the tour that I was doing for this year.
Right.
And I was supposed to hopefully do it in November, and we were getting ready to pick out a theater, and then COVID. But it will happen.
And is there music? Are there music issues at that point? Because YouTube doesn't have restrictions like television does, right?
Yeah, well, there are certain, yeah, absolutely. So, it's just
happens with that. So you got a Jerome Robbins song, you got Leonard Bernstein, you know, Bernstein,
whichever.
Leonard Bernstein. Leonardo. So what? I mean, when you do Sedition, which had you had a reprise of that, correct? That was one of the few that you did a second of.
Yeah, because I did the song Tradition just because it was kind of a slowish week, and I referred to my list and Tradition was there. So I did Distraction, and it was sort of like an evergreenish, ever topical kind of Trump thing. And if I had just waited a few months, I would have heard the word Sedition. I was like, I should have just fucking waited. I learned so much. I'd never heard the word Sedition. Until I
didn't know about it.
I
had heard it in school. I knew about it from Revolutionary War. I mean, Civil War. I'm really tired from the Renaissance. But you know what you haven't done, and I don't think you will, which some people do, and I don't laugh at it, which because I can't take any more images of the Capitol breach, and you didn't do it. You haven't.
Done a parody about the sixth.
Yeah.
Well, Sedition was kind of I threw some images of that.
A couple, but it wasn't like you. Yeah. You didn't. You put in the images that were the ones that people laughed at the most.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, to do a whole parody about that. It was so upsetting on so many levels, and
it will always be and. We have so many disenfranchised people that are so mad, and you know, and both sides say to each other, and I don't like talking politics on here, but I know you don't either, and yet you do it, and yet I feel it, and I'll put something out on my socials. But remember when socials just meant like herpes or something, or congenital warts?
I miss herpes.
Got a social disease.
I know.
That's Officer Krupke, which is...
Before you tell him, Bob, I know that.
And your Officer Krupke is called...
Oh, I did Anthony Fauci.
Yes, you did. And you just love him. It's so adorable.
Well, who doesn't love
Fauci? I love him. And he's back. He's going to be back strong. So
I think he's doing a press conference today. I'm so excited. This is my new entertainment, is press conferences. It's really disgusting.
And by the way, this is only a couple days from today. So... This is Monday right now.
Oh, so he's not doing it today.
He did it a couple days ago. But what's good is this is current.
He called me out by name and thanked me.
He stood up. He got up on a step stool and he shouted out Randy Rainbow. So that's your name. And people don't think it is, but that's your frickin' name.
It is. I know it is. It's the worst stage name ever, but I wouldn't choose that.
No, it's... That's this, you know, this,
it's the worst.
You know what I went through as a kid? That I didn't choose Bob Saget. I said I changed my name. It used to be Somasexual.
Bob, that's not true.
No, but that was a joke I did on a special and people liked it. Well, you know, you can't say that stuff, but I, obviously, if you listen to me, you know where I fall about humanity, which is I love humanity. And anybody that loves humanity, that was your reaction to these past 4 years. And what we're now left with is so much division. You have to do sedition, tradition again?
Oh, God, I can't. No. I don't have that much Jew in me left.
Oh, you've got Jew in you. I look at you and I see the kids I went to bar mitzvah. Did you get bar mitzvahed?
No, it's a very sore subject, and I don't want to talk about it. I had a Carvel cake, and in fairness to my parents, I did drop it on the Hebrew school dropout. I couldn't be bothered.
Good. I almost got kicked out.
I wanted the party. I had little, like, half Italian friends, half Jewish, half Italian, who had giant bar mitzvah parties. That was my whole life, was going to bar mitzvah parties, and I did not have one.
I had one, but all my friends were in Norfolk, Virginia, but all my relatives were in Philadelphia. So I had it in Philadelphia, and not one of my friends was at it. Ugh. It was like, I don't know what it was.
Like, why even?
It was like Barucha from another planet. It was just didn't make any sense. But I don't know. You know, we are what we are, and we are who we are. But that's real poignant.
Well, I think I am who you are, and you are who I am.
And we are all together. You can't do a Beatles song, can you? Or can you? Yeah. You can. It's you two.
You know what? I'm going to do like all new things because people are now like, well, what are you going to do now that he's out? I'm so excited for new topics.
Right.
And I already have like a whole list of songs. I don't want to give away what my first Biden song will be, but I have it all planned out, and it's not like a typical Broadway tune.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say, when you talk about like clearances and stuff, I'm very thrilled to report that I've heard from everyone from Lin-Manuel Miranda to Stephen Sondheim, who came to my show at the Beacon, to Stephen Schwartz, Alan Menken, even Andrew Lloyd Webber. They have all reached out and expressed their appreciation and fandom. So
how amazing is that?
I mean, it doesn't fit in my brain, but luckily that when you talk about clearances, I think until there's a Netflix special, I'm sure they'll want something then, but they've been very happy.
Well, that'll just be budgeted. I mean, it's so, you sing so well. You've always been singing, right? Since you're
That's
kid,
how
right?
I started. But yeah, when I was six, my parents put me in ballet. And then from there, it was musical theater. And
how do parents put a kid in ballet, a male Jewish son? And I know you had a strong dad.
They hated me. They named me Randy Rainbow and then put me in ballet and said, let's see what happens. Go for it.
Yeah, what could happen?
Yeah, it was like a science experiment.
Did they pay for therapy at least?
No. And then my father, may he rest, you know, had the nerve to be shocked when I came out of the closet. He had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, first of all, don't screw up your face like that. I was very masked for mask back in the day. Not really, but he should have known. I was, you know, I was running around the house with pajama pants on my head, pretending to be Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Not that that means you're gay, but, you know, don't be shocked.
No, it's actually, you know, you came out of the womb singing, gotta dance. Do you dance? Are you a good dancer?
I guess I move well-ish. I'm not really a dancer. I think I'm kind of good at a lot of things. I never really got great at anything. I never really, you know, sort of honed anything that much. I get bored. I dropped out of Hebrew school. Like, I could be a rabbi.
That's not bored. That's you had a rational mind.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I can't read all that left to right. It's exhausting.
Oh, please.
No. Okay, so I read about your dad, and I read, if you're okay to talk about it.
Of course. I'm in Torah or whatever.
Because it, Torah. It explains a lot, because you did say in something I read that he had a Trumpian gruffness, and so hence comes the comedy to skewer Trump. You're kind of, I guess, psychologically getting back at your dad?
I'm sorry
to do that to you, but I just...
No, Mike, I love talking about this because I'm fascinated by it. The most fascinating thing is that, I mean, my father was so... There was just an air about him, that just that New York, you know, salesman kind of... just vibe. That I think there's just like a generation of New York guys, not to paint with that broad a brush and offend anybody, but I think that he was just part of that, so much so that he died when the year right before Trump was elected, and so he was watching the debates and everything, and said himself, and he was not an introspective man, so he would never have otherwise said this, but he said, I can't watch him because he reminds me too much of me. So,
well, that's unusually self-aware for a guy that's like that.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like if Trump were to say something like that. But it was a textbook narcissism, just his mannerisms too. He just sounded like that. It was just, and so I've now watched for the last 4 years, the world have these discussions about this one man who was, you know, kind of the Lord and master of their lives for 4 years, the same way that discussions between me and my mother and relatives would go on about my dad. It was like exact, you know.
So your life was that kind of drama? Every day you'd get up and go, what's he going to do now? What's he going to say now? Can you believe what he said?
Yes, exactly. And it was just a black cloud. It was, you know, it was the narcissism. And I ate dinner in my bedroom for, you know, a good part of my childhood watching Full House. And
that's what I did.
Really?
Yeah. And I had real long Howard Hughes fingernails. I just, it's so interesting to me because I know that Trump loves comedy. And as crazy as this sounds to people, that he loved Don Rickles. He loved insult comics. He fancied himself funny. And for some people, he was funny, because if someone is that bombastic with put downs, but there's no punchline because it doesn't seem to be coming from love. But for him, in his mind, it must be. He thinks it is. So did you feel that with your dad? Did you feel love from him? Did he tell you he loved you?
Yeah, he was not the worst, but it could have been worse in the same way that, you know, Trump could have used the nuclear codes, you know, during his insurrection. But yes, he was proud of me, especially when it came to anything performance. He was a musician, and so, well, you know, that... No surprise, that's when I got the most love and attention from everybody, when I was starring in the high school show. So he was supportive, certainly, in his way, but he was jealous of me, which was a concept that I couldn't understand as a kid. My you know, my grandmother would say that all the time, and it didn't compute. How is your parent jealous of you and act out on it? But that's really
because he didn't follow his dream. He didn't get to do something more creative.
Well, not even this
did he
is before
sing? Was he?
Yeah, he had a beautiful. He was a crooner, and he was sort of like a Dean Martin type. So you know, I also thank him. You know, some of my singing chops I'm certain come from him. So I'm grateful for that. But he. Where was I going, Bob? I just lost.
Well, it was your dad loving you, but then you were saying how he was jealous of you.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't because of any success. This was long before I was doing anything with my life. He was just jealous, I think, of the fact that I was, you know, younger and cuter, I don't know, and out there living my life. And I don't know. I never really got to the bottom of it. He never, like I said, was really someone who explored himself. So I don't know, even to sit down and have a discussion with him about it would have been enlightening in any way.
Well, my parents were, they went through a lot of death. So that's my brand. That's my stamp, as I know a lot about it because they lost 4 kids and I survived. So they didn't win the lotto, but because I lived. But do you have siblings?
I have he had 2 daughters from 2 prior marriages. So I have 2 half-sisters who are about
they're not
a
full person?
They're just half people. It's very awkward.
The lower or the upper or the middle?
Why did you not consider that they're split halfway down the center?
Well, then they could have been one. Then they could have been like paper doll Siamese twin gals. That would have been kind of hot.
True. I didn't think it out.
They would have been so popular.
Totally. I don't really have a relationship with them, and not just because they're half people. They're lovely. They're terrific, but they're a decade older than I am. And we didn't really have relationships. We have more of a I have, you know, my half sister, Cindy, is now friendly with my mother. You know, her life is, it's just weird. Everyone's like,
life is so messed up. And for so many people.
Yeah.
And you're close with your mom, I assume.
Very, very close Jewish mother's boy.
Right. And did your dad see these videos that you were making? And he must have been impressed by them.
He did. I had been doing them since 2011. So yeah, he saw the beginning of it and he was impressed. He got really like manipulative and kind of dark toward the end. And he would do, you know, try to get my attention in ways like, it just was a turnoff to say the least. So I kind of cut ties with him.
I understand because my dad, who was the sweetest guy, both my parents were incredibly sweet, but they had a lot of psychological difficulties. Besides the loss of so many family members, he was a depression kid and he raised his siblings by himself because his dad died. But he would take shots at me and go for your most vulnerable thing, the pouring mercurochrome in the cut, you know, as a way to get to you, to say something. Yeah. It's like, wow, you know that about me and you're violating me with that?
Yes, that's the exact word is violating. It felt like an assault. It felt like a violation. And
it's like rubbing assault in the wound.
Absolutely. And you just, it's heartbreaking because you think how could someone, a friend of mine, let alone someone who is my blood relative and my parent, go there? That's devastating to somebody. I'm sure that it's fucked me up for life. And there's lots of stuff to discuss with a therapist when I finally talk to one.
Well, you feel really healthy to me. And you get you get to do these, the 4 years of parodying, more than 4 of parodying Trump. And I don't think you're done because I think things are going to happen and ideas are going to come to you.
Thank you.
But I mean, you get to exercise all of that through this character.
It's been really cathartic. It's funny because that's the thing they say most to me, like at my shows, is that thank you so much. This has been it's so cathartic to be able to laugh, to be able to sing. You know, that's what I hope it is a spoonful of sugar you know, for whatever the hell is going on.
And that, what's your song of that song?
I'm not setting up to plug my video.
No, I'm not. I have it all here. I have everything. I have the list of every song you've ever done, of every video you've ever made. But I'm not professional, so I mean, Kamala, you know, your Camelot is. I mean, I was tired last night, but you made me so happy because it's just so. You're so joyous. It's so well done. I know it's hard and I know it's exhausting, but it's so appreciated by so many people.
That is so nice. And that was such a, you know, like I said, I was trying to get a job and then you just try to do your craft and hope that someone finds it amusing and you try to get clicks, you know, that in the early days, that's the whole goal. But then to find out that people are actually getting something from it, that it's actually, people are finding it healing. You know, I have people coming to my shows telling me that I helped them through cancer and helped them through the loss of a loved one. It's like, you don't realize. And it just changed my whole view on what I was doing. It gave me a greater appreciation for my own art. And I think of that stuff now every time I make a video, this is going, you know, someone's going to see this and it might take them out just even for a few minutes of a really bad place. So that's
what you've done during this quarantine, during 2020. Now here we are in 2021 and we're not great. You know,
it's not great yet.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. It's all great now. By the time this airs in 3 days.
We have 3 days, Bob.
So much can change. I mean, it's so wonderful. And all the songs you sing are like my favorite songs. I mean, you have great taste.
I didn't know you were, you're a show queen?
Yeah, well, I've been on Broadway a couple times. I was in The Drowsy Chaperone at the end of the run. I was man in chair. What a play that is. Bob Martin. Bob Martin's a genius.
Pause there. Tell me how great that was, because I saw that show, first preview. We didn't know what it was.
Who wrote it and started it, right?
With Bob Martin, the whole original cast.
Sutton Foster, yep.
Sutton Foster, Beth Level.
Yeah, I got to work with Beth and Troy and Britton Johnson. Danny Burstyn. I got to work with Danny Burstyn. He was a doll, Dolpha. I mean, I got to be with this beautiful man. And all these people, Sutton had just left and Mara Davi took her place, and it's one of the most. I wish they would, Kevin McCullum, the producer, and Bob Boyette. I wish they would bring it back because it's a piece of high, beautiful art. It's kind of like what you're doing in spirit. That's what I liken it to. That's why I was drawn to you.
That's the greatest compliment you can give me because, like I said, we didn't.
I got better ones. I have really good ones written down.
Well, we'll get to them. Don't put a pin.
Yeah, yeah.
But that seeing that show, especially not having any preconceptions about what it was or anything, it was just the first preview and there was no talk about it. And we left floating. It was so joyous, especially for theater, you know, lovers and theater nerds. I mean, it was such a gift to us. And just that show should be, that and Ragtime, I think, should be running constantly forever. I don't know why those shows are not always on.
Well, I have three daughters, so Ragtime always happens at the same time every month.
Bob, that's not...
It's canceled. I'm canceled. My kids are going to cancel me.
The kids just called, you're canceled.
Casey Nicolau directed Drowsy.
That's right. Had you done a musical before that?
I sing a little bit at the very end. There's a slight little bit of singing. And it's funny, I don't dance well at all. And Bob Martin said, it doesn't matter, just stand behind everybody and move your arms. But it was a life-changing experience. You know, and here it is, the Marquee, which is like the second largest theater on Broadway. And it changed my life. I had also done an off-Broadway play at the Second Stage that wasn't a musical. Called Privilege by Paul Weitz. And then I did one of the best other things I'd ever seen by the same producer, my friend Kevin McCullum, which was Hand to God, which is It's amazing.
I heard all these titles because I used to work in the, I was the receptionist in the accounting firm that did all the Broadway shows. So yep. Like I used to staple K-1s for Hand of God, but
Hand of God's different. Hand of God is not Hand to God. Hand to God is where Stephen Boyer had his puppet was the devil. It was for Sunday morning ministry class, and they used puppet therapy. And it's a incredibly Geneva Carr and Sarah Stiles and Michael Oberholzer. And when you do something like this, you want to mention everybody because they just brought me up. I came in again at the end of that run, and I took over for a great actor, Mark Kudish, who originated and did most of the run. But I played a Lutheran minister. It's amazing. It's not a musical, but you would love it. It's just an R-rated, very hardcore, deep, dark comedy.
I would love to see it.
I'm sorry, I'm putting you to bed with my credits, but
no, this is what I like.
I feel
It makes me nostalgic and sad about Broadway because it's like right down the street from where I am right now, and I can't go visit.
You will. This is all going to happen once somebody finally sends out the vaccine.
So when is it going to happen? You're America's dad. Tell me when I can leave. When can I go? You know, enjoy a lap dance again. When can I get a martini at Sardi? You know, I want to live my life.
My picture's upstairs, by the way, but when I go there, they move it to downstairs. They move it if you have a reservation.
They got in there.
You'll have your picture in there. You have so many great things ahead of you. You don't even know, and you got to enjoy it. You have to enjoy the ride. Otherwise, it's not fair that you don't get to enjoy it because you're super, super talented.
Oh.
I'm just telling you. To do that last video that you just did, which is, for a lot of people, it was the coda on this last 4 years. And it just, all of it was a way of doing it in not a na-na-na-na-na way. You don't do your, I guess, political satire skewering in a gloaty way. And gloating is what's wrong. You know, gloating like, oh, we won. And it doesn't matter if Trump had won and we won, you know, or they're still saying that actually, but some. But, you know, I don't like now when people go, we won, you know, But but there's been so much in the pressure cooker, people are getting it out of their system.
That's not what I aim to do.
That's what I love about you.
So I love that. And that's why, again, I was not going to do that Seasons of Love parody just because I was like, it's like a lot of work and I didn't know if I could make it work in time. But then I started singing it and it made me tear up just because of the music. And, you know, I thought it was just because I'm gay for rent. And well, that's not gay for rent. I'm gay.
Always. Well, you got to pay your rent and whatever you have to do it. Oh, you meant the show. You meant the show.
I'm like, I'm giddy and, you know, I'm not supposed to use gay in that way. I apologize. I canceled. But it moved me. And I just said to myself, people are going to be moved by this, I think. And sure enough, that's the cathartic. And people are telling me it brought a tear to their eyes. And it's just that song. I tried to sort of draw a parallel from the original context of the show, and that sort of, you know, was looking back on a year in a life, and that's what I wanted to do with this. So for me, it was very cathartic too, and it was like a book end to this chapter.
It is, and it was, and it's so interesting because I wasn't drawn to going, oh, I've got to watch a YouTube channel, and I know, you know, half the planet is. But I guess I pushed it away because I hosted the first video show, you know? There was no YouTube. And I was like, I narrated people getting hit in the nuts. And that's all anybody has on their little Instagrams and YouTubes. And it's like, those are the videos that I put on, you know?
Does that drive you to drink, to watch what, like, the fact that, like, people getting hit in the nuts is, like, goes viral now? And that's the thing.
Well, not in quarantine. Uber drives me to drink. but I'm insane. I really am crazy. And my wife said to me, I didn't know you were nuts. I said, can't you watch my work? I dated someone once.
Well, you hide it very well, Bob. But that's part of your charm. There's something underneath. And especially because of a lot of us have come to know you. And that there's something cooking under there. That's what makes you so appealing to me anyway.
Yeah, it's so subtle.
Yeah.
when I come out of my censorship cage, I just like doing entertainment for everybody. I like when a 9-year-old kid loves what I do. And then when they're 17, then they want to see my stand-up, and then they keep coming until I die, you know?
It's so uplifting. I love that.
It ends in my fiery death on stage. I'm just going to, if you know what Scanners was, people could self-combust. That's how I'm going to go. I'm just going to explode.
Well, please film it. And
it'll be like Gallagher. Yeah, it'll be all over the audience.
Yeah. Have Gallagher actually just smash you to death.
Yeah, with the Sledge-O-Matic. He came up with that name for a hammer.
Sledge-O-Matic. That would be a good way. I vote for that as a way for you to die. To be smashed.
Thank you.
And splattered onto the audience where you belong.
Yeah, I belong all over them. Pieces of me everywhere. It's the old scene where you got to have some coffee. You deserve it because you haven't rested.
That's all right. I'm enjoying talking to you. And guess what? Like, that's the great thing about the Zoom shit. I can just, when we're done, just go to bed. I don't even have to get an Uber.
Exactly. And something about quarantine, there are things about it that we won't admit that we like. There are things about it.
I hate the world. I hate people for the most part. I love being, I love being single. I love my solidarity. I love my independence. I realize how much I miss the energy of people. Like there's something missing. Like I need to like once a week go out and get turned on by people. And that outlet is not there anymore. You know,
no,
like
same here. I'm going
get alone to a camera, but
we're not meant to be alone. And if you need to be alone, I get it. Cause I like being alone. And I also know that we all say we hate people, but you also love people. And that's,
of course I do. You know,
your heart is huge, by the way. In fact, it's an oversized heart. You should see a doctor. Your heart is 2 feet of your chest cavity.
Now I'm nervous that you're seeing something.
Do you have the Apple Watch? You need to check the size of your heart.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, I'm going to take one more break because I'm not done. If you can keep talking before you go to bed, we'll just take one more quick break. Forever. I'm going to sell something that somebody uses. Okay, we're back. We're back. We just sold something that people want.
I bought 5 of them.
What have you, cleaning your oven right now? Do you have a self-cleaning oven?
Do you hear something?
No. You have a Wi-Fi in and out. You probably, when we're done, you probably want to unplug your modem and plug it back in.
Oh, no. Is it that bad?
No. Just once in a while, there's a little glitch because you are so tech savvy. I mean, you're the tech king, but you're hardwired when you make your videos. I'm talking... Yeah. Tech talk for.
I'm sorry, I don't really have a very impressive setup here in my living room.
It looks nice though, compared to the old place. Oh my God, you had cupboards behind you while you were talking to Mel Gibson.
Wasn't that horrible? But there was
No, it wasn't. It's fucking inspiring. It literally for anybody that goes, you know, TikTok's doing it for a lot of people. There's people coming out of TikTok, but you know, and those are highly produced things. But yours is a different thing, and there's an art form to what you're doing, and there's definitely a place for it. I'm so excited to watch the next decades of what you're going to do. I'll end up just being a head on a stick when you're like, you know, winning the Tony or you won two Emmys for short form,
I was nominated.
Right? Oh, nominated. See, this is wrong on Wikipedia. They make up so much shit.
It says I won on Wikipedia?
I'm looking. Let's here it is. Nominee. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Nominee. Primetime Emmy Awards. I was, sorry. And that was for, it says the Randy Rainbow Show 2009.
Well,
and then,
you have to, let me tell you about show business, Bob. You have to select a title when you're submitting.
Right.
So while I don't really technically call my videos the Randy Rainbow Show, that's their formal name.
So what were you, yeah. What two videos in 2019 and 2020 were you nominated for?
The one I submitted in 2019 was Bar, which was about Bill Barr to the tune of Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
I watched it last night, and I recommend this highly to everyone on the earth. It is, how do you not love that song anyway? But you do it's edited. You do all of it yourself because you've got other people listed. You got John Rezzios, Jeff Romley, and yeah, Victoria Varela.
Well, I love them. They're on my team, and they really help me with my live tour.
Oh, I see. Rich Super's a live tour person.
That was my agent. I'm very generous. They're very generous to me, so I wanted to include them in that. But as far as the videos, they don't do shit. And if you dare,
right?
Say they do.
So they're wonderful people, but fuck them.
Fuck them. They should lift a finger.
Why don't they? It takes one finger to dial. Just one. You should have everything you want. You're self-produced. You're like perfect to be on right now, with any project you want to do because you can do it in your freaking apartment.
That's true. I should be, yeah. I think that I would be a catch to some people because of you know, the production constraints now. I'm very self-contained.
Randy, who are your...
Can you hear me and see me, Bob? Because now I'm self-conscious.
Yeah, I hear you and see you great.
Oh, cool.
Right. I can't smell you because I have COVID. Zoom COVID, just Zoom COVID, not regular COVID.
That's
I can't smell anyone through Zoom.
That's not good.
Randy, I'm going to be funny in 2022. That's my year. But it's this year's a wash. No, it's subjective.
You must have, because you're a comedian, don't you, when comedians say funny things to you, don't you internalize that that's funny or say... That's funny, but you don't actually laugh.
I do laugh. I try to surround myself with comedians that are just funny. So I've been fortunate enough to be around so long that I'm friends with some of the best comedians alive. And I was friends with Don Rickles, and he made me laugh more than anybody. That
were
existed.
His balls really always hanging out?
No, that's Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, who did you say?
Don Rickles.
Oh, Don Rickles.
Yeah, Don Rickles would say things.
It was
no, he did. He had a lovely little egg-shaped set. But he would have gone, why'd you have to go there? If he was here right now, he'd go, why'd you have to say egg-shaped? What's that have to do with anything? He would make fun of my music stuff. And he would talk to Bob Newhart, who we all love, and Tim Conway. And he would say to them, do you know what Bob Saget does in his act? And they go, what? He goes, and the monkey fucked the dog, and the dog fucked the monkey. And I go, I didn't say that. He goes, yes, you do. I mean, he's like the dad you want. He would have just tapped you on the face and go, I love what you're doing. Now get a job, get a haircut. You know, he would just hit you.
I love it. I'm so jealous that I'm so upset that I'll never get to experience that. You know, my grandmother was so, I often credit her as being the funniest and the biggest inspiration to me in comedy. And she was so Don Rickles. Like she was Lucille Ball. She was Don Rickles. She had that, you know, she could tell you go fuck yourself and you would fall in love with her kind of thing. And so, you know, that's why Joan Rivers, Don Rickles, they always appeal to me so much because they remind me of my nanny.
Well, I watched the Patti LuPone. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. How did you accomplish that?
In my apartment, Bob.
Walk me through that. You came up with the idea. Tell me about this. And what was the song?
The song was If Donald Got Fired to the tune of If Mama Was Married from Gypsy.
Right. And a lot of young people don't know Gypsy, right?
Yeah. You know what? And I don't think of people, a lot of people were like, oh, I love that you went for like a deep cut from Gypsy. To me, it's like everyone knows that song.
I feel the same way. A deep cut. You went deep into Gypsy, which is something we all wanted to do, you know.
Listen, speak for yourself.
Oh, come on. You would have thrown one for the team. You would have just done it. I mean, it was Natalie Wood as Gypsy.
No, Bob. I was really? More impulsive. Where are we getting into now? Am I really gay? Is that the question?
No. You don't. No. Oh my God. I'm going to cut myself on camera. I mean, what if it's like, what if it's like Natalie Wood and it's a Broadway show and you're in the show and it's not, no, you just hug her and tell her you love her and you're her best friend.
Are you asking if I would fuck Natalie Wood and Gypsy?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, we're family. No, I am so gay. I know that there are.
You're so gay. You probably think this song is about you.
Exactly. That song is about me. That version. That rendition. but Patti LuPone, don't start me talking about Patti LuPone and then stop. I have to finish. Okay.
Let's back this up.
You're editing me, and I have to release this.
So here's my question. So
yeah,
Patti LuPone, it's an amazing video. It drives me crazy. It's so good. And it's from Gypsy. And what song is it? When Mama Got, If Mama Got Married?
It's If Donald Got Fired to If Mama Was Married.
Mama Was Married. If Donald Got Fired.
Which is sung by the two daughters in the show, you know, Dainty June and Louise.
Right.
And of course, she's Patti. Of Tony for the revival. So long story short, I met her on a Seth Rudetsky Stars in the House episode, which is his YouTube thing.
Right.
And she was a big fan. And then we sort of, she texted me after that, or I think, you know what happened? I tweeted something funny about, because Mary Trump's book was coming out this week. And I tweeted something silly, like if Patti LuPone reads the entire Mary Trump audiobook, if she narrates the whole thing, I will lip sync it on YouTube. Just as a silly joke, I don't know what, but I got a call from my agents and they were like, Patti LuPone is on the phone. She wants to meet with you. So she kind of got the bat signal that I wanted to collaborate with her in some way. So we did a Zoom and you know, for me, like I grew up with her in 19 places on my wall in right. high school. She was my Beatles. So this was nuts as it is. But so she started talking about the possibility of doing something like this lip sync. And I honestly didn't really want to do that because I thought that it might, I didn't know if it would like have legs. And I didn't know if by the time we did it, if anyone would be interested. So I said, you know, Patti, we could do something like that, but I would really like, and you know, feel free to tell me to go fuck myself, but you kind of opened this can of worms. So I'm just going to be brave and ask you, would you ever maybe consider singing a song with me? And she said, in a fucking heartbeat, tell me what you want to do. And
she's so badass.
She is so awesome. And we're now best friends. Go to dinner. I mean, but she came to my apartment and she stood.
What about COVID? Were you guys scared? Were you so you weren't socially distant?
I was thrilled at the prospect of getting Patti LuPone COVID. I didn't give a shit. I was a little nervous because I'm Jewish. I'm scared of germs. Totally.
Were you scared of her giving it to you, or you just didn't care? You figured it's Patti LuPone's COVID.
I had to tell Patti LuPone you can't bring your hair and makeup people. Meanwhile, my dream would be to have Patti LuPone do her fucking hair and makeup in my living room. And but too, she brought them anyway. So whatever. I was like, whatever. If this is my last time, you know, on Earth, then at least I went out with a bang.
Yeah, it's a good way to go out.
Yeah, but she was like, whatever you want to do, you know, God, you know, bless Patti LuPone. She's got a kind of a like cool reputation, I think, of being like a badass and sort of like a little bit of a ball buster. But she is the loveliest, most, you know, she just game for anything. She did not have a note. She didn't, when I edited the video, she didn't make a change. She's just so delightful and lovely. And the fact that she was standing in front of the green screen before the camera that I stood all those years lip syncing to Patti LuPone. And now there was Patti LuPone lip syncing to herself in front of the same green screen.
Isn't that amazing?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, if you could have told your younger self, which we always say, you know, yeah, you would have been like, no fucking way.
Well, I'm looking at you now and thinking that it's like, this is so weird life. And I'm sure you felt this with lots of your heroes and the people that you grew up watching. But that, I guess that's what happens.
It sounds like your ride's here. Don't you hate that joke? Right. Ambulances. Right. You can't soundproof New York.
Is that a little better? I was so.
No, it's all good. Everything's okay. Good. It was the ambulance or siren, whatever.
Yeah, it was a cop.
Patti LuPone is there with you. It looks to me like she's recorded separately. You're singing together. Did you do her first and then record yourself to her?
Yeah, I was off camera kind of directing her and then filmed my part later and put us together.
You let her go away and then did yourself afterward?
Correct.
That's how you do it. You know everything. You get the star to come in, your guest star, and she does this, and she must have been delighted because you guys sounded so great together.
She was very happy with it. She's really excited. I'm happy to say to do a follow up. So I hope that we're going to be doing some more stuff together.
Oh God, please.
I'd love to do it. I said we're going on tour. What, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I would love to just. My whole career should just be, you know, we can be like the Gaga and Tony Bennett of all the gay bathhouses, if there are any left.
There will be. Everything's going to open up. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
You're going to have all the bathhouses you need. Everything's going to open.
That's what I miss the most, though. Like, just coming home from tour and being in New York finally and just getting to have, like, a trashy night, like, in like a fucking dive bar or a strip club. You know, I'm not that crazy, but I like to just have like a trashy New York night within reason.
You need the vaccine, and then you wait for your second dose till you really, you know, stay out. I think you're gonna, by next month, I think you'll have it, is my hopeful guess. I hope it's not March. It's kind of stupid, you know.
Listen, because I'll take March.
Well, you'll be able to do it. I have to ask, you pre-record all the songs first and then you lip sync to it? Is that how you're doing it?
For the most part, yes. Just like a Hollywood musical.
Randy, are you playing the synthesizer? Are you playing, are you doing it? How are you doing it? Do you
the
have
music?
A...
Sometimes, like for the Patti LuPone one, for instance, I had that orchestrated. So that was actual Broadway musicians who did their parts remotely, and it was mixed by
a mixer.
Oh God. Mm-mm.
So you do this. Oh, you want to say the name of the person?
You're listing everyone that you love, and I'm forgetting my beautiful Michael's last name. What is wrong with me? Michael Moritz, who is a Tony and Emmy winning, I think, producer and musician and conductor, and he's fabulous. But for the most part,
has he helped you on a lot of them? Have you? But
no, he's kind of a recent addition. He'll mix some things for me occasionally, but for the bulk of this time, again, I'm just winging it. And a lot of the tracks are pulled from the internet. Karaokeversion.com is a go-to for me, and they have everything.
Holy crap. But did you double layer it? Because you're mixing it. I mean, because you're having it. And as you're layering in more characters, well, I'll let you answer that because I was just going to keep talking and ask. I was going to ask five questions, so you can't answer any of them.
Perfect. You're a very good interviewer. when there's a chorus of me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all layered. It's me, like, for instance, Seasons of Love, Seasons of Trump. I sing it about 8 times, and then I double that so it has a nice full sound, and I mix it so that it sounds a little kind of spread out and surround soundish. Again, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just trying to, you know, go by ear and just mimic things that I've heard before. So I don't know if anyone's starting up out there, I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but that's how I do it.
Oh, it's going to be part of what this time has been, this quarantine time, to be entertained during it and to be able to go through a dark time, which it definitely has been and still is. And to be able to, you're one of the few sources. I have so much trouble finding something funny to say that isn't a dig or something that's sarcastic, because everybody is rolling their eyes. There's so much cynicism, no matter what your viewpoint. It's just a bunch of cattiness. And
well, I get it. You know, it's getting worse. And I think I was pretty, during COVID, my audience has grown quite a bit. Like, I think I've doubled all my socials, you know, just because no one's got anything to do but sit around watching videos. So in that time, and again, because people have, you know, trolls are out in full force,
right?
I get it more than ever. And so, and I'm surprised by the amount of vitriol sometimes that some of these people who likely are not even real people. I don't know what these troll bots are.
Oh yeah. They're just assholes. It's just negative. And then you look at it and they got invented. They started the account 5 minutes before they tweeted at you.
Yes, some of them have like, you know, a substantial amount of followers, 5,000 followers or something, and they come at me with the most outrageous things. Someone the other day called me a washed up youth pastor, and tagged all of this a youth pastor.
That's so weird.
That's so off.
I will say that it is sad where mental health is at right now. And that's at an all-time tragic high as well, because this does a lot to people. Quarantine, having issues to begin with, lack of work, lack of friendships, anger, yelling at the TV. And that's another reason why everything that you're outputting is just a hug. It's wonderful. And if people get mad because they like Trump and you're bashing him, I don't know. I would think it's so well done. I would think he would any press is good press at a certain point.
Right.
He's seen all the bashing. Not that you're looking for him to be your number one fan.
It would have been nice though to at least be blocked. I was very disappointed that, I never got any sort of, caught any wind that he knew me. Although I know that there were people within the administration. I have whistleblowers who would tell me that they were fans. So I'm sure that he was aware of me, but didn't do anything about it.
Well, you have such, you know, it's like what I have. I mean, I don't think I'm not saying I'm great, but I'm saying I have a 9-year-old perspective, 10-year-old. I have an idealistic look at the world when I'm at my best, when I'm not feeling the pain or watching the news and going, fuck, really? And I have this thing I want to do. And that's what you have. It's part of you.
But it doesn't just come naturally. I do have to put it on because by nature, I'm a very negative nature. You know, in my real life, I do just
complain.
You know, I mope a lot. I complain about everything.
I whine. And this is, I whine and complain.
I'm so annoying. I hear myself and I just like, who could listen to me? But I just complain about everything. But thank God for this outlet that I found myself in musical comedy, because I channel it and I put it out, and it's something that other people can enjoy, and it's cathartic as hell for me because it's me doing art that I love. But if I didn't have it, I would just be sitting in a corner complaining and drinking a lot.
Oh, you have it. You have it. And you're also able to look at it at the big picture. To be in an apartment and to produce stuff that goes out to the whole world, literally the whole world. I'm sure you hear from people in Norway and France and everywhere, right?
Yeah, everywhere. It's nuts. I'm very big in the UK, apparently. I can't wait to...
Well, you'll be able to go there. I mean, I did a show there for the first time in London a couple of years ago, and it was a dream, and I want to go back, and I can't wait. You're so much good stuff is going to come out of this, and that will drive you crazy because you'll be surrounded by people. You'll go, I want to go back into quarantine.
I know. Well, I already go through that. I mean, I just went through 3 years of constant touring, and you know, I'm like, it's like when they, you know, like Nell in that movie, Nell, when they went and took her out of the woods, that's what it was like for me, because I spent the first year or two of this just doing the videos, and it was just me alone in an apartment, which can be, you know, kind of depressing at times, and you long for like connection, but I also love it. And so to be then surrounded by people and you know, agents and like a press person, it's lovely and it's wonderful. I'm so grateful for it. But you do just kind of want to go back to your room.
Yeah. Well, you always can. I mean, you can't take all your shit with you and do it while you're on tour, because you're on tour. Nah. So, I mean, and I was and I can't wait to go back on tour. I'm dying to go.
Do you always feel that way, or is it because of COVID?
Right. I didn't think for a while I was going to do stand up when I was directing a bunch of stuff, I just stopped for a few years. I would do it some, but I didn't have a voice. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then it just comes to you. It just comes to you. And I've got all new music, you know, original comedy songs that are meaningful to me. And I cannot wait to have audiences and perform. I love that. And I'm working on other stuff, you know, because I've got a bunch of stuff I'm developing with good people. But this is, it really is a reset. I mean, we would be in a totally different place. I mean, Trump would have won if he would have done a few things, like wear a mask a year ago, 6 months ago. Just do it. Just do it, even just to win. And
isn't that amazing? That really revealed just how dumb he is. Like he could have won the fucking thing.
He could have won, and
I could have told him.
I mean, really, really could have won. I mean, you know, not the fake swamp. Let's sue the voting machines. You know, and he would have faked empathy. I mean, he could have. Got to be pretty smart to fake empathy.
He is really, but it also just revealed, you know, the depths of his narcissism. He couldn't even, you know, this was a time when it's a pandemic. It was the one thing that he could not bring himself. He couldn't even muster the ability to fake empathy. Like, this is a time when you need a Joe Biden to just, you know, give you a hug.
Any leader of any country has to, you know, Boris was different till he got COVID, and then it changed him in England. Whether they like him or don't, it changed him. And, you know, I still think Trump felt invincible after he got it, and then he beat it. And it's not that big a deal because it cost whatever it cost, half of, you know, I don't know.
I still can't get over that he got on camera after having it, realizing that he had access to things that no one he's the president. He of course had access at Walter Reed to things that no one could ever get their hands on. And he made a public announcement. I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of it. I'm fine. Get out and live your lives. how reckless, how like, I mean, that this really, this was the, this year, this 2020 was the year that I really like got scared of him, because, you know, it any kind of like notion that there was some humanity somewhere in there just kind of melted away and revealed how evil he was.
Well, I think it's a power thing, and it's a consumption with money, and I think it's a lack of love that people need. And he was getting love from the from his base, and he probably, there will be people that will always love him and think that he was their guy. But I think he's in a different place now. I mean, he, you know, leaving a note for Biden was probably, it was funny. You know, you see on the internet, and it's not really funny. It's all tragic. But, you know, people are saying it was just like a thing. You know, will you pardon me? Check yes here, check no here.
I've seen a few of them. They are funny. Mm-hmm. Will we ever see what he actually wrote?
I don't know. Biden said he's going to let us know once he talks to him. But I don't know if he will, because he's a fairly respectful person that way. And I like that. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's going to be justice. I just like that Bernie's like Zelig. He's showing up everywhere. That picture of him, that's really going to travel for another week or two. That might be a fodder for a song. It's just Bernie sitting there, that floating Bernie.
Bernie in a chair. I'm trying to think what from Fiddler I could do. There's gotta
Fiddler
be something.
Is so, my wife is younger than me. I know you're shocked, but I know. And she's not Jewish, and she's amazing. She never heard or saw Fiddler. She didn't get to see my friend Danny Burstyn on Broadway, which, you know, he was astonishing in. And
I saw him in. The chewiest night of my life, I brought my mother to see Danny Burstyn and Fiddler, and two rows behind us was Mandy Patinkin. And I had to strap my mother to the fucking chair to keep her from jumping on top of him, because she will approach.
He's been a hero during this time. He's been another one of those not Pizzagate showbiz people. Who can believe that a showbiz person eats babies?
People, this is so. I mean,
how can you believe anything like that? It's insane.
There is a population of people that they talk about on the news who actually believe that.
Well, stop giving them press. Because I don't like eating babies anymore.
That is not. Now, were you on any of those lists? Because I've heard things.
No, because I have empathy for all people. I have empathy for people that each side saying they drank the Kool-Aid, you know. But I think it came from the left first, that the right drank the Kool-Aid to follow him. But then the right is very strong on saying that the left. It's interesting how the right steals the rhetoric of the left, but they both say the same thing to each other. And we've got to somehow get to some center. We cannot, otherwise we're done. I mean, it's the de-evolution of this country in the saddest possible way. We only had a few hundred years. That's it. A couple hundred years of independence. And look at the battles we've fought.
Do you think we're going to get wise to the fact, listen, I hate to badmouth social media. It gave me, you know, an audience, but, and I love aspects of it, certainly,
yeah.
But it's gotten to a place that is, you know, the inmates are running the asylum now, and it's just scary. Do you think that we're going to get tired of it and rise up against it and reject it and resist, or are we going
to? I don't
to,
think like, it's possible. Yeah, I think it's going to always be there, and it's going to be more, and we're going to end up being in the George Orwell world where we will all be tagged. They'll have all our algorithms. They'll be able to hit a button and find us no matter how many, you know, aliases we go under or try. I just think anything you say can and will be used against you or did. And that's where we're at. You know, technology is great unless you're trying to protect people from criminals.
Yeah.
I do think the world has become like a South Park episode where years ago it would be a split screen And they would say, and forgive me, everybody, if I insult anybody, but they would say, here we have the president of the United States, and it's a split screen, equal time with a midget in a bikini. And that's where we're at. Someone could have 15 followers and be speaking out of their ass insanity with someone that actually, let's not use President of the United States as an example, but use, you know, I don't know, one of the great minds that everybody doesn't hate. Elon Musk, maybe, unless people hate him too. I don't know. But, you know, Bill Gates is hated. I mean, people are hated for having knowledge and for being rich, and but also for inventing a lot of these engines that are, it's a real, it's just weird. It's just,
it's very weird.
There's no answers. We talk about it, and we, it's all we do is talk about it. The answers are regulated somewhat, I guess. I don't know how you do that.
It was designed to be, you know, an addictive drug, and it worked. Did you see the social, what was that?
Yeah, the social dilemma.
Dilemma. That was so, you know, meanwhile, it didn't change anything about my usage of social media. I'm still on it 24/7, but I.
Well, now we are too, because we're, and the worst thing you can do before you go to bed is look at that thing.
It's interrupting our sleep patterns, and it's awful. It's the worst thing.
Discipline helps, which is the turn. I love it too. Randy, I can't thank you enough for doing this.
Bob, I love you. And I
love you too.
I really love you.
If I lived where Patti LuPone lives, I would beg to be in a video. That's a dream of mine, to be in one of yours.
Can we shake on it on your podcast that you and I this year will collaborate in some capacity?
I would love it. I could shoot something here even. I think I have a green screen somewhere in the house because my wife is incredibly media savvy. So.
Good, because I did not invite you over. I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm old. I got to get the thing. You know, I get the double. I'll have a double shot, please. But
we're going to do something. And I thank you so much for reaching out to me. This is if I ever have a podcast, you will be on it.
Thank you.
And I hope that this is the first of many conversations, because I have always loved you, and even more so now.
Thank you, Randy. And I look forward to everything you do, but I'll be talking to you before I have to tell you you're going to do great things, kid.
There'll be plenty of time. I'll call you every night and you can tell me.
Well, you got my stuff. So hit me up whenever. And thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Have a good nap.
I'll have two. You too. Yeah. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Bye. That was Randy Rainbow, right? Randy Rainbow, the guy that makes you happy when you're just feeling blue. On your computer, on your phone, on your YouTube app, wherever you are. Just if you haven't seen his stuff, see it. It's real. It's special. And he's going to do really amazing stuff. He's just a sweetheart and real talented. I don't know why you've listened to me say that for 90 minutes, Bob. I got to just stop lapping all over my guests. I can't help it, but that's why I do this, because it's people that I really like. So you know what to do. You rate, review, you can comment, you can follow on the YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. The Apple, we like the Apple. Apple's nice to me. The Spotify, you can get that, because who doesn't? Some don't. I don't know what's going on, except I hope this year brings you some health. And if you believe in the vaccine, you get the damn thing, and you get it just in your arm. Look up Arnold got it. Arnold Schwarzenegger got it. So, you know, it's a fun little video to watch. Just Google that shit and you'll see that he was good about it. Didn't hurt him. I wish you all well. I hope you're getting through this time. I hope you're feeling better about things. I don't know. Just trying to send out some positiveness. Okay, guys. Happy times ahead, and better times ahead. And I can't wait to go on tour again. I'm moving dates again more into the fall, because it has to be done that way, because I don't want to play to, you know, a quarter of a house, because you can't have a full one. And you know that I love a full house. So anyway, thank you very much. I'll talk to you on the next episode of My Name Here. Bob Saget's here for you. Take care, everybody.